For many of you listening around the country, your pastor may be responsible for the souls in more than one parish over a wide geographical area. That is the norm in the Diocese of Fairbanks, Alaska. And the Diocese of Fairbanks encompasses the largest landmass of any diocese in the United States. Over that wide area of Alaska, 12,500 Catholics, 46 parishes, and only 12 diocesan priests. There are five more from religious orders and 27 permanent deacons. Bishop Chad Zielinski is taking some very decisive steps to address the shortage of priests and to ensure the spiritual care for the faithful in the diocese. We get a look in this very unique diocese in Alaska as Bishop Zielinski joins us this morning from Fairbanks. Your Excellency, good morning and welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on the air.
In a time of year when you're only getting about, what, 4 or 5 hours of daylight, I'm sure everybody always asks you about the weather and how cold it is in Fairbanks.
It's currently minus 32 degrees, and I was in the interior region of our diocese over Christmas and actually experienced minus 50 on Christmas Day.
Wow. The church in Alaska, Bishop Zielinski, has a unique history. Diocese of Fairbanks was and still is the only mission diocese in the United States. Can you give us a picture of where the diocese has been over these last 57 years and how you've staffed the parishes?
The diocese was served by Jesuit missionaries, since the late 1800s when Pope Leo XIII gave them the challenge and the call to go to Alaska and evangelize. And so since that time, it had been served out of, it was an apostolic vicariate, and then Juneau became the first diocese, Fairbanks the second, and Anchorage was made an archdiocese. And Jesuit missionaries have been serving this area for decades, along with various groups of religious sisters, too. Following the Second Vatican Council, there was a decline in vocations for the Jesuit missionaries. Probably, if you can go back to the 1980s, there were at one time, which not too long ago, 51 Jesuits, and we're down to only four of them today as they aged and were not being able to be replaced. But they did some heroic ministry. You can see in our archives that, you know, many of them, you go back into the 1930s and 40s, and even some of the elders that I visit with talk about the father or the group of sisters coming around for catechesis by dog sled between villages at, you know, sub-zero temperatures. So there's a great missionary zeal, and, you know, you can go on and tell stories of in diaries that priests recorded of showing up in a cabin and it's minus 40 degrees and starting a wood fire so they could heat the cabin and cook something. So, and today, obviously, we still have cold Arctic environment. We, as you mentioned, we have these 46 parishes. The diocese is divided into three major ethnic groups. And 37 of our 46 parishes are in remote villages. They're off the road system. So when I get in a car, most bishops in the lower 48 will get in a car and travel to their parishes within, you know, X number of hours. Well, here I can only drive to eight of our parishes. And the 30 or nine of them, the 37, you have to get into a little bush plane and travel there. Sometimes between villages, you'll travel by boat or a snowmobile in the winter time, given the conditions, if the conditions are allowable for that. So in the coastal region, starting at Barrow and moving down through the Bering Straits, we have parishes along there that are Inupiat, and very similar to the Inuit Eskimos of indigenous peoples of northern Canada. And moving along the coastline to the village of Nome, which people have heard of because that's where the Iditarod dog sledding race finishes, is all through that Bering Sea coast. And you come to a village where it transitions into Yupik Eskimos is how they refer to themselves. And then coming to the Yukon River, that lower delta it continues to be Yupik up the Yukon River, and it reaches, I don't know, about 200-300 miles up there. It transitions into Athabascan, Native Alaskan. And the difference is the Athabascans refer to themselves as sometimes Indians or Native Alaskans. Their language is very similar to Navajos. They say that they can speak to the Navajos of the western U.S. and understand each other, whereas the Yupik people and the Inupiaq, their languages are completely different. The Inupiaq, when I just visited in September, we have a parish on Little Diomede Island, which is 2.5 miles from Russia. Same indigenous group of peoples coming from Siberia. They have a common language there. So that kind of shows you the cultural diversity within the diocese and the different language groups.
And I know that the diocese has been under the Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples, and that's changing. Can you explain what that is and how you're going forward now in the Diocese of Fairbanks?
The propagation of the faith, as it was called before the Second Vatican Council, after the council, it's called the Congregation for the Evangelization of the Peoples, basically started in the 1600s with this idea that we were people were sent to evangelize the world, the end of Matthew's gospel, go out and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the church took this mission seriously, as you can read about the missionary activity of many religious communities and saints within the church. And then as time moves forward into where we are today, through the advancement of technology, the abilities to tell the story of the gospel, that gospel has pretty much been disseminated throughout the entire globe. And so after the Second Vatican Council, this is where you hear Pope Paul VI and John Paul II really lit a fire with this idea, and Pope Benedict, of the new evangelization. And so with that in mind, as that began to move forward, you would see that more and more of these dioceses that came under the evangelization of the peoples started to move to the Congregation for Bishops, which all of the other dioceses in the United States had belonged to. So what had happened in a conversation that I had with the head of that dicastery, Cardinal Filoni, he had said, Pope Francis is looking and inviting the cardinals to kind of reorganize things. And so there were many dioceses, like, for example, 6 Northern Tier dioceses in Canada switched from the evangelization of the peoples to the Congregation of the Bishops, whereas the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops took on this invitation from the Holy Father to be missionary disciples, and they said, well, let's do this within our own country. So we went through the necessary process to look at what that would be. And when I attended a bishop's orientation course in 2016 that was sponsored by the Congregation for the Evangelization of the Peoples, there were many bishops from the continent of Africa, Oceania, in India, and in profoundly impoverished countries. And they pretty much looked at me and said, why are you here? You're part of the United States. And so as we begin to look at that, yes, we have poverty, but we don't have that extreme poverty that we see that is faced by underdeveloped countries. So we move into the process, but we're still mission territory because of the remoteness of our parishes. You can't, for example, one parish, if the priest is not able to be there for Mass, then you can't just drive to the next parish as you would in the lower 48.
Sure.
And right now our parishes, I think on an average, have Mass once every 6 to 8 weeks. Otherwise, we have approved a communion service led by a deacon or a trained lay leader.
So Mass happens once every 6 to 8 weeks in many of the parishes, Bishop Zielinski in the Diocese of Fairbanks, and I would imagine the Sacrament of Reconciliation also once every 6 to 8 weeks. How do you handle other sacraments like confirmation?
Well, obviously, as a bishop, I'm the primary minister of confirmation, and so it takes me about 3 years to get around to the parishes. It took me 5 years to visit all the parishes. So on the 15th of December, I celebrated my 5th anniversary as a bishop and completed visiting all 46 parishes, because they're very difficult, some of them, to get to. You're constantly battling weather. The island of Little Diomede, you have to fly in a helicopter, and probably you can only get in there 50% of the time. And so that becomes challenging to try to schedule things when you're at the mercy of the weather. So, the confirmation happens probably about on a 3-year rotation, or if there's a need, I adjust it in my schedule to make it there and administer confirmation. And confessions, I can, you know, some villages are like parishes in the lower 48. You get more attendance. One of our villages, I recall sitting there for 3-4 hours hearing confessions, and then the next day, and because a priest doesn't come there that often.
Right.
So people are eager when they know that there's a priest there, that they'll come and make a confession.
How do you deal with vocations, Bishop Zielinski? We have young men listening all over the country. We speak in obviously larger dioceses, Phoenix, New York, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, having great success with vocations. What do you say to a young man when he may be considering a vocation to the priesthood to perhaps consider the Diocese of Fairbanks, Alaska?
I would say two things. One is listen to the Holy Spirit and discern your call to be a priest. That's the most important. I used to work as a chaplain recruiter when I was a chaplain in the military, and I would always say the same thing. Your vocation, your calling to the priesthood is the most important thing to discern. And then from that, you will, you know, discern a further calling. Is it a call to go into a particular missionary service? Is it the military? I would put the Diocese of Fairbanks the same way, because it really takes a very special kind of person that has an intense, focused missionary zeal that can live in challenging and harsh conditions. There's solitude, there's loneliness, there's darkness, there's Arctic environment, and it's in a different culture. And so you have to have that special person that has a very disciplined spirituality, that has a love for people, a love for the Eucharist, and a willing to sacrifice, like some of our great missionary priests have. If I notice, Relevant Radio is in Northern Michigan, and the whole story of Bishop Frederick Barriga is a similar missionary story of how he went out and evangelized the Native American peoples there, and heroically sacrificed his life to bring the gospel and translated texts into their native languages. And some of our early Jesuits have done similar things here in Alaska through written languages that were, you know, never recorded, but the Jesuit missionaries were the first ones to do it. So those young guys that are listening, that seem to have that call to that special ministry, you know, I would ask them and pray. We have a vocation director, Father Robert Pfaff, and he gets contacted by people all the time. When we have a seminarian that's not grown up in Alaska, we invite them to come and live here for a year. And we have a house of studies. They can, you know, take a few classes at the local university. But more than anything, we have them experience this whole climate change and visit the various parishes in our remote villages, and also the ones in the Fairbanks area. Also, too, you know, you'll find that as a priest is ordained, they'll ask their bishop, you know, after so many years of ordination, can I go serve in a mission area for 3 years? right now we have such a critical need for priests. As you mentioned, we're down to 17 priests. Some bishops have been very generous in letting guys come here and serve. I'll take them for a year, two, 3 years, or more. And for some of them, after they hit the three-year point, it can be a challenge, and so they'll return to their home diocese or to their religious community. So anyway, that's... We have a great and ongoing prayer that we pray for vocations. St. Therese of Lisieux is the patroness of the Alaska missions. So we believe that through her mighty intercession that she will raise up vocations to the religious life, to the diocesan priesthood here within Alaska. To serve our needs.
And we join in that prayer here on Relevant Radio as we spend time with Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks, Alaska. Bishop Zielinski, do we need to think more about our own missionary dioceses here in the United States? When we talk about missions, we focus on other parts in the world when it's happening right here at home. Missionary dioceses that need our attention.
Absolutely. I'm part of a subcommittee with the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops called Native American Affairs. And I know, for example, the Diocese of Gallup is in a very remote area in New Mexico, and it primarily encompasses mostly Native American reservations, and they have a great need for mission priests, along with some of our other dioceses. I know in the region, the Appalachia region. I know through Catholic Extension, they've always reached out to different dioceses that they identify as mission dioceses that face financial challenges and also a need for religious and priests to come and serve there. So Pope Francis continuously invites us, you know, through his pastoral document, the Joy of the Gospel, to go out, be missionary disciples, announce the good news of the gospel, and this is not always an easy task. It's challenging. I think America has been had things quite good for the past 30, 40 years as far as our economy goes, but there are some areas of our country that haven't, that face challenges. So I think we need to heed the call of the Holy Spirit to go out there with whatever little we have and to serve where the need is the greatest, even though it might make us uncomfortable.
Bishop Zielinski, you mentioned the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico, and we're blessed to have Bishop James Wall, one of your brother bishops, who is the shepherd of the Diocese of Gallup, on as a regular here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. What impresses you about the faithfulness of these 12,500 Catholics, some in remote villages in that one parish 2.5 miles from Russia?
The faithfulness, I would say, for example, I was just in the village of Koyukuk, which is an Athabascan Indian or Native Alaskan community. Only 100 people live in the village. And they're, you know, the church was full. It's small. It only holds about 35, 40 people. And they were just so profoundly thankful that I came and celebrated Mass. And in the Yupik Eskimo region in Nupiak, they have a word, koyana, which means thankfulness. And it's more than just this simple, oh, thank you for, you know, passing the salt or pepper or whatever. It's a deep thank you that they have developed in their culture, that they thank God for the berries they pick, the salmon they harvest, the moose or caribou that they harvest, because they live a subsistence way of life. And all of the food that comes from the earth, they see that God has provided that, and that if they don't have that, they're literally going to die. And so they take that attitude of thankfulness to their faith, thanking God and thanking the priest or religious that goes there for teaching the Word of God, which they need to live and survive. And most of all, the Eucharist, the real presence of Christ himself. They're profoundly thankful for that. And when you don't have that on a regular basis, you become, it intensifies the appreciation and the thankfulness.
Bishop Chad Zielinski with us this morning here from the Diocese of Fairbanks. Is this the same Alaska you wrote about in your book report when you were in the fourth grade?
It's a little different.
How different? What did you write about when you were in the fourth grade?
Oh, it was, and that's the story I tell. How did you become interested in Alaska? It was, we had family friends that had moved up here in the early 70s, and so you always heard these stories about people wanting this adventure in life. And so in fourth grade, all I remember is writing about this great land of wilderness, of hunting and fishing, and it's different. You get to meet the people that have lived here for thousands of years in a different culture. And so I think it clearly, obviously, when you're in fourth grade, your worldview is different. And then my initial experience arriving here in 2012 at the local airbase was as a military chaplain. And so I was focused on that whole mission and ministry. And then it was a huge surprise for me to be appointed as the bishop. And so the Holy Father and the Holy Spirit wanted me to stay here and serve. And so I've been abundantly blessed as I travel around to all of our parishes.